Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to a new episode of the Snatchback Podcast. This is your host, Artip Sports Talk here. Feels really good to be back, man, talking basketball. It's been a long time. I think the last time we might have done this, I'm thinking it was probably around the NBA draft perhaps, or maybe it was game six of the finals, which my Cavs lost. But either way, new episode, we're back right around the same time the NBA had decided to come back, so great timing by yours truly. In terms of announcements, of course, you already know, always trying to release new weekly content with AST Radio and, of course, daily. But I'm really excited about an article that I'm currently writing on my Tumblr page, which you can find in the description below, artandlovesports.tumblr.com. Writing about Jimmer Fredette since he was drafted by the Westchester Knicks, a team that some of you guys may or may not know that I covered last year and that I'll be covering again. And I feel really good about this article. I'm actually going to try to finish it today so you guys can just see it, enjoy it, let me know how you feel about it. And, of course, the YouTube channel, man. I'm trying to meet up with my boy Greg to videotape me because he's like my cameraman in certain situations and he's really good at it. And if we could really just lock in and just be able to meet, I could have a ton of videos made and prepared to be released over the next month in terms of, you know, move tutorials, game situations, and you already know I'm going to do the highlight videos. But, yeah, man, that's announcements. And for today's show, I have my co-host with me, Nick Bong. Some of you guys may know him as @NotNickBong on Twitter, man. How's everything, Nick?
It's going great, man. How about you?
I'm doing good, man. I can't complain, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, this is @NotNickBong on Twitter. And you're somebody who, like, I'll be honest with you, man, you started to get a little buzz on Twitter, man, with your basketball opinion. I was seeing your stuff get retweeted and favored, and people were striking up a conversation with you. And the reason why I just decided to follow you and eventually get you on the show, because at the end of the day, I like logical people. I like people that can express their opinion. I like people that can express their opinion without being too crazy or too outrageous, or they're really biased.
Don't give me that much credit. I might be pretty crazy, man. I don't know if you should give me that much credit.
Well, until then, I'm gonna let you know again. I really respect your basketball fan. That's why I had to get you on the show. So, of course, man. But before we really get into it, man, let the people know more about you, man.
All right. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it. I actually did sports radio when I was in college, so this is a cool
nice
walk down that avenue for me. But yeah, I'm Nick Bond. Like you said, you can follow me on Twitter @NickBond, not Nick Bond, B-A-U-G-H-A-N. So yeah, basically I'm just, you know, your average nerdy guy who loves basketball. I got my league pass for the season. I'm going to go ahead and say this in case my bias slips. I am a Boston Celtics fan, but, I try to keep it under wraps, mm-hmm. you know. So I don't sound too biased. Yeah, you know, I love basketball. It's my favorite sport. The NBA is a great league. A lot of young talent. It's the one league I could talk about for hours and hours and not get tired of it.
Hey, Celtics fans and bias, you guys go together hand in hand. I'll be honest with you. I know a lot of you Celtics fans out there, you guys go hand in hand with it, so it's all good. But, of course, opening week basically is done. I mean, by the time you guys listen to this, it will be Tuesday, so we'll be a week into the season. And there's a lot of interesting things, man, that for me personally, I never really expected to see during opening week. Like, for example, like, I didn't expect, okay, I get it. Like, it's not surprising that Kobe Bryant is shooting 31% from the field and 20% from three. Like, that's not surprising. Like, he's washed at this point. But when I look at James Harden shooting 20% from three, and 9% from the three-point line, actually 20% from the field and 9% from the three-point line, that is something that I'm not expecting. How do you feel about that? I'm surprised by that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really shocked, too. The saving grace for James Harden, I guess, when he goes in slumps like this, is he's really good at drawing contact. Now, a lot of people say, oh, he gets all the calls, he's just a free throw shooter, but it is a skill to be able to draw contact like that, especially, you know, when you're a star. Yeah, I get, you know, people would say star calls, but Harden is really good at getting to the line. So that's something that he can kind of rest on while he figures out how to get out of this slump. That's all it is. You know, obviously James Harden is just now entering his prime. He's the best shooting guard in the NBA, a top five player for my money right now. He's going to figure it out at some point. You know, I'm sure the Rockets will figure it out. I'm not going to lie. I didn't think they would start off this badly, but I did think there would be a slight adjustment period, you know, bringing in Ty Lawson, James Harden, two guys that, you know, it's not
but
normal.
But that's the thing, though, is it's – sorry to cut you off, but that's the thing, though. It's like, how big of an adjustment is it really for James Harden to play with Ty Lawson? Like, how big is it really? Like, to me, I think both can play together well. Is it really that, or are you thinking that this team is just not playing good? Because I don't want to believe that somehow, some way, there's some type of hangover from being in the Western Conference Finals. Like, I really can't believe that.
Well, you know, I think, you know, you kind of touched on it. I think it's a bit of both. I think they're just playing badly right now, and I think they'll get out of it at some point. You would hope they would. And then, yeah, I think there's definitely an adjustment to Lawson and Harden playing together. And, you know, it's going to take some time for them to figure out, and for the team in general to kind of adjust to it. You also got to remember Dwight Howard started off with a suspension that, you know, came from the last postseason from accruing flagrant fouls. So Dwight Howard, I think, should be back in the next game. So that'll help out a ton for the Rockets, who were just really abused in the inside by Hassan Whiteside.
Absolutely. One thing for me that I saw during opening week, which made me smile, being a Cavs fan, was how about my boy K-Love looking comfortable with the beard, the hair growing out. K-Love, I don't care what nobody says, I love the headband, baby. Keep it. That's your look for the rest of the season. Tell Brian to get one, too, so y'all can match. Kevin Love has looked extremely comfortable so far this year. Top five rebounders, statistically speaking, right now, averaging 11 a game. And I think it's just something where over the summer and going into the season, I feel like Kevin Love has finally understood what it's meant to be in terms of being in Cleveland. And I think I have to give kudos to LeBron and David Blatt for the fact that they understand, like, that, look, Kevin Love just can't be a regular piece. He has to be a special piece that has to be utilized to give this team a chance to win a championship. And with the way things are going, I'm hyped about Kevin Love right now because the man looks comfortable and we got him involved, man. I'm really excited about this.
Right, and, you know, you should be excited about Kevin Love. Now, here's kind of the background with Kevin Love, right? So he comes over in the trade from Minnesota. You know, everybody's excited about how he fits in with LeBron and Kyrie Irving. And, you know, he's going to not have to carry the load and he'll finally be on a playoff team. And that kind of ended up being true, but people were still disappointed. Last year, Kevin Love averaged 16.4 points a game, 9.7 rebounds a game, on 43% shooting, 37% from three-point line, 80% free throw shooting. So people were disappointed in Kevin Love, but there were a few things last year. He was hurt from time to time, and he didn't have to carry that load in Minnesota, so the shooting percentages were the same. But I think, you know, the whole confidence thing about adjusting to that role in Cleveland, I think that kind of knocked him out of, you know, his rhythm a little bit. But going into this season, with Kyrie being out, LeBron getting older, Kevin Love being healthy, I think, you know, you kind of touched on it. There seems to be a greater emphasis on, hey, we've got Kevin Love now. Let's run an offense through him. And I think David Blatt is, you know, really tailored his offense towards Kevin Love, who so far is averaging 19.7 points a game, 11.7 rebounds on 41% shooting, 38% from three, and so far he's perfect from the free throw line. So I think Kevin Love isn't ever going to post a stat line like he did in Minnesota that last year again because he doesn't need to. But I think we'll see a bit of the, you know, a slight return to some of those numbers. So I think Kevin Love is definitely going to have a big year, one of his best yet.
And you know what it is, too? Another thing that caught my eye about the Cavs is the fact that I like how we have just a little more movement in the offense. It's not stagnant. It's not just simple pick and roll. I like how, you know, I'm seeing more screens set for each other on or off the ball. I like seeing dribble pitch, which is something that I was telling people during the finals, which was a big part of Golden State's offense, because Golden State has a lot of dribble pitch and a lot of off-screen. So I like how that's been incorporated with the Cavaliers' offense, but definitely keep that up, Cleveland. You already know. Now, for you, Nick, because I've seen you tweet a whole lot during this opening week, what were some things that you saw? What's some things you want to bring up? And I'm going to bounce off you.
Well, I think this is something you and I discussed when we were setting up this, Stephen Curry. I mean, the guy, he's a human video game. It's like I could play NBA 2K right now against the computer. I could play against, like, the 76ers with Stephen Curry on the easiest difficulty, and I still could never post a stat line like he's doing in real life. It's just it's insane. I mean, all right, here's his game log for the season so far. it's incredible to read it. So in his first game, opening night, against the New Orleans Pelicans, he dropped 40 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds on 54% shooting, 5 of 12 from 3. Second game against the Rockets, 25 points, 6 assists, 7 rebounds on 60% shooting overall, 4 of 9 from 3, 44 from 3. His most recent game on Halloween against the Pelicans, 53 points, 9 assists, 4 rebounds, 63 overall shooting, 8 of 14 from 3, 57% from 3-point line. He's only missed one free throw all season. He's shooting 95.5% from the free throw line. I mean, Steph's just, I mean, it's early in the season, 82-game season. He's only played 3 games, but is it possible that Steph might be better than last season? Who knows? But he's gotten off to an incredible start, and I think we're witnessing probably the greatest shooter of all time entering his prime.
All I've been telling folks on Twitter and even off Twitter, and folks, you guys got to believe me when I tell you this, man. Look, I understand we have a lot of great scorers in this league, a lot of tough people to defend. I completely get it. But what Steph is doing right now is exactly what I've been telling people. He is the toughest player in the NBA to guard, period. Mm-hmm. To me, tougher than Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Carmelo, Red Hot Kobe, whoever you want to put on there. I've been trying to tell y'all. Steph Curry is the toughest person to defend in the league, and I will go as far as saying right now, the best scorer in the league. And this is not an overreaction. I'm telling folks, how do you defend Steph Curry? Because I could tell you how to defend Kevin Durant. I could tell you how to defend LeBron. I could tell you how to defend Carmelo. Now, it's much easier said than done, but yet we know that there is a particular game plan or player that can help do those things. Can you tell me how do you stop Steph Curry? Who is a tougher player to defend right now than Steph Curry? I could care less about this player is this tall, this player weighs this much. I could give a damn. Steph, to me, is that guy right now, and he has that on lock.
It'd be hard to disagree with you. However, Kevin Durant, let's not forget, I think KD is going to come back this year with a vengeance, because I think Steph last year actually made people forget that Kevin Durant is in many ways the taller version of Steph in terms of shooting ability. KD, this man shoots regularly high 30s, low 40s from three-point line. He's got handles like a two-guard. He doesn't have Steph's handles, but KD is 6'11", maybe 7 feet, and this man shoots like a guard. So I would say it's him and Stephen Curry are probably the two most impossible players to guard in the NBA. But Steph is just we've never seen this. I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, Steph is – and you know what's really crazy about Steph within the Warriors is Klay Thompson may very well go down as the greatest three-point shooting two-guard ever with the way he shoots, but it's completely overshadowed by Steph, who's just like this otherworldly shooter. I don't know how to describe we've been seeing with Steph so far.
I can help you with that. It's called unguardable. That's how you describe
yeah,
Curry.
Yeah.
Because, again, and here's the thing. Like I said, I completely understand folks that will go, man, Durant still has it. I get it. We're all amazed by 6'9", 10, 11, 7 foot. God knows how tall this man is, okay? Because the same way LeBron's weight was questioned over the years, it's the same way we're now questioning Durant type. But at the end of the day, I've seen 6'4" Tony Allen lock up and slow down Kevin Durant. I haven't seen nobody lock up Steph Curry. I understand my boy Deli worked hard on 3 games in the finals last year, but I was more of Steph just missing shots. I've seen Tony Allen get a phone KD and LeBron, and I've seen others slow them down. Steph, man, I keep trying to tell y'all, when he gets past half court, he's in range. His handle, to me, you know what's more crazy about Steph? Is I don't even look at Steph anymore as a shooter. I look at him as just a pure scorer. Because Steph is actually more dangerous off the dribble than he is open. Can you believe that? He's more dangerous off the dribble than he is when open. There was a stat that actually came out, last week, that says when facing tight coverage, which basically means contested, Steph Curry shoots 44% from three.
Yeah, and, you bring up an interesting point. Everybody views Steph as this incredible shooter from outer space, which, he is, but he is a really good scorer, and, his moves off the dribble, he does all these little ball fakes to get inside and get, some pretty crazy-looking – I mean, some of the layups he makes are just as impressive, if not more impressive, than some of the shots he makes. I mean, Steph's just – it's incredible. He's not – people – I'm a big Russell Westbrook fan.
Okay.
So when people think of scoring point guards, they, think of Russell Westbrook, who's this really explosive, bouncy, all-over-the-floor scorer. But then Steph doesn't get that kind of recognition maybe because the scoring, aside from his three-point shooting, isn't so flashy like that. So I do think you're on something here. I think as an overall scorer, Steph is, kind of underrated in that regard.
Man, people got to realize that. But another dude I want to touch on, too, man, is, and for me, I've been a Blake Griffin defender for years. Like,
he's good.
A huge emphasis on years. I'm talking 2010, 2011, when my man used to get slandered on the regular. How do you like Blake Griffin now, folks? 32 points, top three in scoring, 9 rebounds, okay? I told you guys before, my man BG32 for this generation is basically what my father or your father or other family members were seeing with Charles Barkley in Phoenix. That's how good Blake Griffin is right now. What do you think about that?
I'm a big Blake Griffin guy. I wouldn't say I was a Blake Griffin critic, but his rookie or sophomore year, I was kind of thinking, I like to see this guy develop a little more of a jumper, which he has. And Blake Griffin's he's really, really good. And I think people get caught up in some of the flopping and on-court antics he does. But, Blake Griffin is a tremendous athlete. He's only 26 years old, so he's just entering his prime. And having Chris Paul, the best point guard since Magic Johnson for my money, to help, that's a really formidable duo, and it's a shame that they play in the West because it's an absolute shark tank in the playoffs. But watching Chris Paul and Blake Griffin the last few years and hopefully for a few more years has been a real treat. And, those two are just, incredible. And I think Blake, he had kind of a step down last year with injuries, but his 2013-14 season was his best year yet, and I think we get an even better version of that this year. I think Blake could be a potential MVP candidate.
Potential, he will be. Remember, Blake was a top three, I think, candidate like 2 years ago. He was
Chris Paul got hurt, yeah.
Yeah, 2014, right, when the Durant won MVP, I think the top three, it was KD, it was LeBron, and it was Blake. Because that was the year Joe King was a top five MVP candidate, according to the number. So, trust me, you know what it is about Blake? Blake is at the point, just like this next player I'm going to mention, he's at the point where he's just outgrowing his role. So this co-star number two role, it's not going to cut it no more. He has to be the guy now. He is meant for that. You don't draft the number one player. You don't draft Blake Griffin number one to just keep him as a co-star or to make him into that over time. He has to be that guy. Another player who I think is going to outgrow his role soon. Hey, Nick, I don't know how you feel about this. Kawhi Leonard's going to outgrow his role soon in San Antonio, yo. Just watch.
Well,
he's going to outgrow it.
I'm a big Kawhi Leonard fan. And, obviously in San Antonio, it's a very role-specific offense and system. It can't just be one guy dominating and taking over. But with Tony Parker aging before our eyes, Tim Duncan, he's still really good, but he's still a year older. Manu Ginobili is probably in his last year, and he's, really old. It's Kawhi Leonard's time. And granted, they did bring in LaMarcus Aldridge, who's probably on the back end of his prime or at the worst still an all-star. But Kawhi Leonard, that you know, it's you never want to say it's his team, because it always takes a team to win games, and especially with the Spurs, it's all about every guy being involved. But Kawhi Leonard is becoming, he's the main guy on that team, and you start to see that San Antonio runs a lot through him. And, he's doing really sophisticated stuff on offense. It's not that just like he's a pretty talented guy. He's a byproduct of San Antonio. No, this is a dude who should not have fell that far in the draft, and San Antonio loves him, and he's really, really good. And it's amazing to watch Kawhi. I mean, who knows what his ceiling can be.
Can we touch on the fact that Paul George and Kawhi Leonard could have been possibly playing together?
Yeah.
That's absurd. That is absurd thinking. Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, David West, and Roy Hibbert?
Yeah, that'd be a pretty incredible front line. I will kind of defend the Pacers on that. We didn't know Kawhi would be this good. And to be
I know. I'm just saying, though, still, like, it's crazy to think about.
Oh, yeah.
It's
fun to think
like,
about.
You could have gotten
sure.
away with anybody at point guard, and you could have PG, Kawhi, David West, and Roy Hibbert. And especially because now, okay, Hibbert's gone, West gone, and they got Miles Turner in there. So, man, the youth movement, oh, my God.
I'm a big George Hill fan. He's really underrated. And what's crazy is, he's gotten a lot better since the Pacers brought him in. This guy was playing at an all-star level when he came back from injury last year. If the Pacers had had him all year, even without Paul George for basically the entire year, they might have made the playoffs, because they finished with the same record as the Nets, who got in to the eighth seed.
Yep.
Both teams went 38-44, but the Nets had a tiebreaker. So if the Pacers had had George Hill the entire season, they would have made the playoffs. This guy's really good. Excellent defender, really good shooter. And not many point guards are better than him at finding their own shot out of a pick and roll. I really like George Hill, so it is easy to kill the Pacers for trading Kawhi Leonard. But at the same time, I got to give him a little bit of credit for finding a good value in George Hill, who I think is one of the more underrated players in the NBA.
Absolutely. And, again, like for me, it's not necessarily trying to kill the Pacers. It's just looking back and thinking, holy crap. And even then, like you brought it up. Like, again, I'll say, salute to George Hill, man, because last year George Hill – he did take a step up. The man averaged 16-5, even had 4 rebounds, shot 47% from the field, 35% from 3. And so far this year, he's averaging 18-4, shooting 50% from the field and 55% from 3. So, hey, but still, it's just thinking about that. Wow.
Stat
I want to share with you. I have a stat that I want to share with you, which to me is weird. Of course, we know about the man-child known as Anthony Davis. Davis, so far, If I'm looking at the numbers correctly, his three-point percentage is actually higher than his field goal percentage right now, 44% to 40. And Boogie Cousins, my boy Boogie, is shooting 40% from three.
Yeah, the Anthony Davis thing, it seems that Alvin Gentry, the new head coach, came over from Golden State. It seems like he's, really trying to force the whole Anthony Davis is going to shoot three-pointers thing down his throat. It's like, you got to just let him do his thing. I get it. I'd love to see him grow offensively, and he still can because he's, just an incredible player, incredible talent. But it seems that they're kind of forcing him to shoot too many threes. I don't know. I'd say just kind of let him dribble around, get his game going, let him just find his own thing inside a little bit, get his confidence going. Because I think I don't like the way Gentry is running things through Anthony Davis right now. It could change, and it could be like the Rockets thing we talked about earlier. There could be an adjustment period, but as of now, I'm not digging the new look Pelicans offense. Granted, they're really banged up, but the Anthony Davis thing is really weird so far. But you gotta hope or assume that he'll get back on track.
Yeah, it's definitely been an interesting thing to see. It's even the same thing for me watching Boogie just suddenly shoot threes. But one player, for my fans out there that enjoy, I guess you could say, the prototypical big men, the old school big men, if you want that, for one, I'm going to tell you this. If you can't spend $200 for the league pass, do what I'm doing. 5 payments for $44 for that league pass if you're trying to save some money. One guy that you want to watch, if you want to have a good time, plus he's from where I'm from, Westchester County. My man, Andre Drummond, Mr. 18-16 right now. Killing it. You've been watching Drummond? I hope you've been watching Drummond on League Pass, Nick. You better
oh,
be watching
yeah,
my boy.
I tried the Pistons bandwagon. When I did my NBA preview podcast going into the season, I have the Pistons in the playoffs, and I'm a big
yes,
fan
you did.
Of what, this looks like a Stan Van Gundy team now. They crashed the hell out of the offensive board. They run that pick and roll with Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond, which is just absolutely lethal. There's shooters on the outside to complement Drummond and Reggie Jackson. And Stanley Johnson is an interesting chess piece for that team. He's a guy you can really move all over the court, and I think he's a guy that may very well win Rookie of the Year. He's looked really good so far. And like I said, I think he'll be an interesting chess piece for Stan Van Gundy to move all around the court.
Absolutely, man. Shout out to Stanley. I know Morris in front of him right now doing this thing, but
mm-hmm.
I was even telling folks, I wrote an article about it, like my random prediction, which is in the preseason, his numbers don't stand out, but when you watch him, his play stands
right.
out. Man, matter of fact, man, salute to all the rookies, man. You know, unfortunately, D'Angelo Russell has to play for the Lakers. You know, he ain't going to do nothing this year. But, yo, Moody,
yeah.
my man, I love him in Denver right now. Karl Anthony Towns averaging 21-13 to start off his career. And, of course, you got Stanley Johnson. But before we end this, first week of the season is over with. What are you looking forward to moving forward for, let's say, the next month?
This is going to be really random. I'm looking forward to seeing how the Blazers play offensively. I want to see what kind of pick and rolls they run with Damian Lillard and all the bigs. I want to see how Myers Leonard, you know, does in a full-time stretch four role, which is what he's
CJ
playing.
CJ McCollum.
Yeah, CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard are an interesting backcourt because both are really good scorers, and neither seem to play with defense. But
they don't.
I'm a big fan of Coach Terry Stotts. He's one of my favorite coaches in the NBA. And everybody thinks the Blazers are going to be bad this year. I kind of had them being bad, but I am interested in seeing how they develop some of these young guys, especially Noah Vonleh. I wonder if he'll get much playing time this year. But, yeah, that's one of my favorite league pass teams, the Portland Trail Blazers.
I would definitely say for me, definitely piggybacking off of you when it comes to Paul, because both CJ and Damian are actually averaging 22 a game right now. So to see the dynamic between them, because it's funny because before the season, everybody was really looking at Portland as, all right, this is going to be Dame's team. Dame's going to have to be the one that's going to score a ton of points. And now it's like, nah, man, like CJ could help him score. So now it's going to be like what these two can do instead of what that one. Another thing for me, man, because I was just really excited about this kid ever since going back to college and even in the preseason, man. What my boy Julius Randle's going to continue doing, you know, last year, 22-15. You know, I really, really dig his game, man. And I feel like if there's any year that could be very important to his career, it's this season. You know, he needs those reps. He needs those shots. You know, I saw, what was it, last night he had 17 shots. The game versus Minnesota, 13. Like, he just he needs to get 13 to 18 shots a night, you know, and hopefully Kobe out there says something about, I need to lean back. Well, Kobe, all you're doing is leaning back on your jump shots. You're not leaning back on times of your responsibility. Let my man Randle cook. But, yeah, man, that's what I'm looking forward to. Of course, man, this is the Smashback Podcast. Make sure you follow my dude Nick on Twitter, at Nick Bong. His Twitter handle is in the title above. Nick, this was really fun, man. We got to do this again soon.
Yeah, for sure. I really appreciate you having me on, man. It was a good talk.
Absolutely, man. Enjoy the NBA. Enjoy this upcoming week. Talk to you next time, Nick.
All right. Take it easy.
All right, you too. Other than that, that was the first episode of the Smashback Podcast. Please make sure to follow Nick. His Twitter handle is in the title above. Smashback Podcast coming soon next week. I'm happy to be back. Hopefully you enjoyed the season. Hopefully you're watching the games. Other than that, stay focused, stay blessed. Be on the lookout for, once again, my Jimmer for Debt article, which is coming soon. YouTube, everything coming soon, you know. Smashback Podcast. We are out of here, baby. Peace. But before we go, I got to play this one time. I got to. I'm sorry.
Sizzling Trade Rumors.
It's the Sizzling Trade Rumors.
We out. See you next time.